You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a child, an elderly friend of my parents always stayed for a few days over the Christmas period. He was an interesting character who, in his earlier days, had had several of his paintings accepted for the Royal Academy's summer exhibition. And he always sent us a hand-painted Christmas card. In his 80s, he always went upstairs on the double-decker buses so that the old folks, as he called them, could go downstairs. In his old age, he was a lodger in a house in Winchmore Hill in London, and his landlady was a member of a religious sect. Periodically, she would tell Uncle Phil, as we called him, that the world was coming to an end, and he would be told to move out while it happened. So he would always come and stay with us for a few days before being allowed back into his room when the end didn't come. The sad part of this story is that his landlady and the sect to which she belonged paid no attention to scripture and the clear warnings that we aren't meant to know the time of Christ's second coming. The reading from Isaiah today was looking forward to a better time when the kingdom would come. There were three readings set for today, and the second one was Paul speaking writing to the Romans. And he was writing from the Corinth area to the church in Rome. And he wrote in the middle to late 50s of the first century, which was the time when he was planning his final voyage to Jerusalem and then on to Rome. The main theme of his epistle was God's righteousness, and he wanted to make clear to his readers that we live in the interval between the early dawn and the sunrise. He wrote, "The night is far gone and the day is near." He wanted us to be alert and prepared and to behave in a way that is appropriate for the day. And he assumed that his readers knew what time it was, that special time of the dawning of a new age. Not the new age spoken of by hippies who talked about peace and used mind-bending drugs, but the coming of Christ's kingdom. Paul wrote about living honorably, a theme which Augustine picked up in Book 8 of his Confessions, in which he wrote, "I was weeping in the most bitter contrition of my heart, when lo, I heard the voice as of a boy or girl, I know not which, coming from a neighboring house, chanting and oft repeating, 'Take up and read, take up and read.' I grasped, opened, and in silence read that paragraph on which my eyes first fell. 'Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. No further would I read, nor did I need, for instantly, as the sentence ended, by a light, as it were, of security infused into my heart, all the gloom of doubt vanished away. Paul wrote, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ," as if we could put him on like a coat. And this is what it means. In baptism, we clothe ourselves with Christ and try to become ever more Christ-like. Clothing ourselves with Christ means looking at our behavior. Do we go in for petty quarreling? Or are we jealous of other people and their gifts and possessions? If we are in Christ, we should think no more of how to gratify our own desires, but we should give ourselves to God in worship and service to him and to others. We should reject drunkenness and sexual immorality, and we should take on prayer and meditation, reading the scriptures, worshipping with other Christians as we do this morning, and reading spiritual books. In the gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus was talking about the end times, and he compared them with the time of Noah, when life carried on pretty much as before until the flood came and swept everyone away. Everyone except for Noah and his family, who were prepared. The warning to us is that we must be prepared at all times for Christ's coming. Even he doesn't know the time, so we shouldn't waste our energy on trying to work out when it will happen. Instead, we should put our efforts into continuing with our work of mission and outreach. What would you do if you received a death sentence, perhaps because of a terminal disease? What would you decide to do with whatever time was left to you? Perhaps visit friends and relatives. Perhaps visit a place on your bucket list. Perhaps read that book that you've never quite managed to finish. Or settle your affairs to give financial security to your loved ones. We live in a similar situation because we don't know the time. But we do know what we should do to prepare ourselves. Christ comes to us day by day in the breaking of bread and through his blessings and his grace to us. We need to live each day as if it were our last, because when he comes, life as we know it now will be gone forever. We are people of light and look forward to Christ's coming in glory. But if we don't live in a Christ-like manner, we won't be following his way. Our lives should be God-ordained, Christ-formed, and congregationally centered, as a book on preaching that I was reading put it very succinctly: God-ordained, Christ-formed, congregationally centered. And the collect for today encapsulates much of what we believe in a wonderful, memorable, and familiar way. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Amen.